Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Haudenosaunee and the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet. I'm speaking with Sydney Kobe, founder of Bite Snacks, a company that is using cricket protein to make granola bars and powder that can be used in cooking recipes. Sydney, welcome to Earth Matters. And the first question I'm sure everybody wants to know is, why did you get involved with crickets? What was the story there?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for having me. So I first got involved with crickets for the environmental reasons, really. That was sort of the final point that pushed me over. But I was first introduced to eating insects. So I was traveling around parts of Asia. And I just sort of saw it as, you know, a neat sort of novelty thing at the time. And then some years later, a few years ago now, the UN released a document basically suggesting to help, you know, feed people around the world in a more sustainable way, that people start to eat more different types of insects because they can be farmed very sustainably. Mm-hmm. So I found this really fascinating. And at the time, just for personal use, you know, I wanted to try it out. And I couldn't really find anything in my grocery stores around me. I live in Vancouver, Canada. Mm-hmm. And the only place I could find in Canada to find insects to eat was a farm in Ontario. So, you know, I ordered some crickets for them online. And that's when I started having a bigger interest in it, because, you know, I thought other people would also be interested in eating insects, but I couldn't find any in the grocery store, so I wanted to start to change that.
Okay, so let me stop you right there. Are we talking like the actual cricket itself, like a bug? I find it on my garden plant and I just pick it up and I throw it in my mouth and eat it. What form?
Yeah, it's the whole cricket.
Okay.
That's an interesting thing about crickets, is you can use the whole cricket instead of like lots of meat practices where they don't use a lot of the animal. But yeah, so they basically just farm the crickets and roast them slightly, and mm-hmm. it's the whole cricket.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever visit a cricket farm when you were in Southeast Asia, or was it just a matter of it in a street market or a restaurant? Where did you first come across crickets?
Yeah, so first it was at street markets, and I think I saw it in some restaurants. At the time, I wasn't really interested in, you know, it was just sort of a thing that I noticed while I was traveling. But now I would love to visit some farms over there after I know a bit more about it, because, I mean, that's where, you know, they have a much older industry there than we do in North America for farming crickets, that is.
All right. And I'm sure everybody wants to know, what do crickets taste like?
So crickets themselves, they're not as scary as you might think. They just have a slight earthy, nutty taste. So they actually lend really well to using as an ingredient in baking and in cooking. It's quite a subtle, earthy taste.
Okay. And in a recipe, would you just throw in a handful of crickets, or is there some other process that's involved?
So I guess it depends what you want to do with it. So people have been known to, you can use full crickets in your cooking, like in tacos or in anything you want, might want a bit of crunchiness to it, in salads. And you can use the cricket powder in any type of baking that you want to do, or It's very protein rich, so you can add it to smoothies and such as well.
Okay, and are you a vegetarian or vegan or?
No, I was a vegetarian for years because of the environmental reasons. So I think that's part of the reason that, you know, eating insects appeals to me so much. But no, I'm not a vegetarian anymore. Mm-hmm. I just try to be conscious of where I'm getting my meat from and stuff.
And you've been running this business for how long, Bite Snacks?
It's coming up on 2 years.
Okay.
It's quite a slow start. You know, I sort of started at farmers markets for quite a while, and then gradually grew to some small stores around and then online. So it's a bit of a slow growth over the past couple of years.
Where do you source your crickets from? Where do you get those?
So I still source them from the farm in Ontario. So they have, I believe it's the largest operation in North America. Mm-hmm. So I get all of my crickets from them still, and they process them for me. So they, you know, slightly bake them, and then they grind them into a fine powder. And then it makes it much easier for me to use, just in powder form as another ingredient.
Does your company sell the powder or other products? What kind of products does Bite Snacks sell?
So with the powder, we make energy bars. So the cricket powder and those, just brings some extra protein and nutrients to it. And then we also do a couple of protein powder blends. So there's like a chocolate flavor and there's a golden green flavor. So that's with the cricket protein, but some other ingredients as well. And that's sort of meant for smoothies or for baking. And then we also just sell the straight cricket powder.
And I've got one of your energy bars. Actually, I ate it, and I'm still alive, so
here
we are.
Good.
In case anybody was interested. On the package, it says it's gluten-free, non-GMO, and I can't imagine anybody doing any genetically modifying crickets, dairy-free. But there's a little sign there that says, why crickets? So do you want to run me through why I use the crickets?
Why people would eat crickets. There are tons of reasons. The biggest one for me is the environmental reasons. Mm-hmm. So we can really farm a lot of crickets without using a lot of resources, comparing this to other meat farming. So it doesn't emit a lot of greenhouse gases. It doesn't use a lot of feed or water or space. It's just a lot more economical that way. And other reasons are the crickets are naturally really high in protein. So crickets themselves are 60 to 70% protein, which is really high for a natural source. Hmm. You know, beef and chicken, other products might be as low as 40%.
And you say that you use the whole cricket as opposed to, you were talking about the waste of a farm animal that, you know, we go to the grocery store and we want the nice looking chicken breasts or steaks.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
There's a lot of other.
Yeah,
byproduct.
So it really is like the full cricket, mm-hmm. Which, you know, I'm not remembering off the top of my head, but you can imagine if you take a cow or something, what ends up in the grocery store is a very small percentage of the cow itself.
And what about other resources? When you say a cricket farm, crickets kind of hop around, so what would a cricket farm look like?
So I gather, I've only visited the one in Ontario. I've done tons of research on ones in Thailand and other parts of the world. I gather they can be different. But the one in Ontario is basically large barns. Hmm. Crickets like to be kept very warm, so that's why they're farmed indoors. Mm-hmm. But within the barn, it's basically a large space and the crickets are allowed to do as they please. The crickets, they like to burrow into they like to sort of hide in dark spaces. So they have sort of these large structures for the crickets that they can go all in and around, and the crickets have no reason to leave it because their food and their water and everything is there. So they're considered like free range, but if you visit it, the crickets don't have any interest in leaving the area, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like they're not trying to escape or anything.
Now, this is going to sound like a silly question, but I've got a cricket in my garage and it makes one heck of a racket. Was it noisy in the barn?
No, actually, it wasn't too noisy. The crickets, they naturally live for 6 to 7 weeks. And they actually only start to make that noise closer to the end of their life. So for much of their life, they're not making that noise.
Okay.
And yeah, I was surprised. It wasn't actually that noisy. When I visited it, they did say that, I think as it got closer to the end of their life, which I think was a week or two from when I went there, they did say it gets noisier, but they still didn't say it was like too noisy. They've never had any complaints from neighbors or anything.
Any interest from you to do the farming itself?
Oh yeah, I would love to do that one day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been thinking about that from the start. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, it requires a lot of resources. It's a big sort of unknown, you know, it's not like beef farming here in North America, where I'm sure if you wanted to do that, you could find, you know, textbooks and instructions on how to do that. It's sort of a new technology here. Mm-hmm. So it'd be a big undertaking.
But I imagine, as you say, it's smaller in size. You don't need the acreage that you would for cattle grazing or what have you. So it wouldn't be that onerous. What about competition? You know, obviously you've looked around and decided that this is a market you want to get into. And if you've done your research, you know what the competition is. There a lot of business? Is there a lot of interest, a lot of buzz? What's the cricket scene? What's the cricket powder scene?
Yeah, it's definitely grown over the past couple of years since I've been at it. In terms of other businesses, the States is further along than us. There's a large energy bar company there called Exo. I think they just do energy bars. And there's a cricket chip company called Chirps Chips. I think they're one of the first ones in North America to start using cricket protein. And they were on Shark Tank and stuff. You know, and then there's some smaller ones around. There's a couple more companies in Canada based in Montreal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there's some other small ones scattered around, but it's definitely not saturated yet, I don't think. And I've seen such growth in consumer awareness over the past couple of years. I definitely see a future for growth.
Now, on Earth Matters, we've interviewed David Waltner Taves, who wrote a book called Eat the Beatles. And there's another book written by Daniela Martin, The World of Eating Insects, The Last Great Hope to Save the Planet. Do you see eating insects and using insect and cricket protein as saving the planet?
Future?
Do you see that?
Yeah, I definitely see it as a part of that. I mean, with our hugely growing population, the question is, how are we going to feed all these people and how are we going to continue to do so without damaging our environment? Mm-hmm. I don't think that meat products are going to be gone completely, but I think that, you know, they'll start to get more expensive and they'll be seen more as a, you know, something you have once in a while. You know, in order to sustain people's diets, we bring in things like cricket protein, which are much more sustainable for the environment.
What about other insects? Have you ventured into that? Have you looked at other insect when you talk about alternative proteins, it's not just crickets. There's other insects. There's grubs and everything else. Have you explored any of those other alternatives?
I haven't personally too much, but I think there's definitely a lot more room for exploring other insects and then other, you know, alternative proteins. Like we saw the Beyond Meat burger became so popular this past year.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could be wrong in saying this. I think in terms of insects, crickets do have a better nutritional profile than other insects, and they're easier to farm on a larger scale, or maybe it's just that people are already farming them on a larger scale. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's a lot of room for people, you know, to develop those areas.
So let's talk about Bite Snacks, the company itself. How big is the operation? Are you a one-person operation? Have you got a facility? I notice on your website, and it's called bitesnacks.com, on your website you've got recipes for different things. So where does all this organization come from? Who have you got?
I started Bite Snacks 2 years ago. As I said, I started up pretty slowly. My family got involved quite early on, helping out in different areas. But besides that, it's basically been me for the past 2 years growing it through stores and online. And I mean, I had an employee for a bit last year helping me with, you know, some of the recipes that you see online. And I'm a baker, so I put some of those recipes online. But yeah, it's still basically just me. Family still helps out and have a facility here in Vancouver. But, you know, to make things easier, I have hired help. Like, I do have a distribution company and, you know, some help with production and some help with sales and stuff. So not doing everything.
So basically a family-run operation.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah, still a pretty small operation.
And where do you distribute? You said you can order your products online, but what stores might I walk into to find your products? Or
Hopefully more soon. We just started working with a distributor that goes across Canada. So hopefully you're in Ontario, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be able to see some in natural food stores around you soon. That's how the stores that my distributor works with.
And what's your favorite recipe?
I usually just, if I'm using the powders, I use them often in smoothies or pancakes. I've made pancakes quite a bit with the chocolate one. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, energy bars are easy. Don't need recipes for those.
Remind me again, you've got more than one kind of bar, an energy bar. This is a typical, you know, small bar that you would take on a backpack, hiking, anything like that. So what flavors do you have, and how do they come?
Yeah, so we do the Jimmy Ginger, Chocolate Chirp, and Peanut Butter are the three flavors. And they're more sort of designed for like an everyday bar. They're family friendly, so you don't need to be like a huge bodybuilder in order to eat them. So they're more well-balanced. They have around 5 or 6 grams of protein per bar. And the Jiminy Ginger has actually become the most popular, I think, because it's sort of like a unique flavor for people.
I'm assuming it's got ginger flavor in it.
Yeah, it is a ginger flavored bar.
If people want to find out a bit more, because, you know, they might not want to just jump right in and grab a bar and eat it, they may not be as adventurous as others. How can they find out more about Bite Snacks and about your story?
Yeah, so if you go to our website, bitesnacks.com, or our Instagram page, bite_snacks, we share lots of information about there, about, you know, cricket farming in general, or about our products. And then if you want to give it a try, we have some smaller sample packs on there where you can get, you know, a few of each thing.
What are your hopes for the future? What are your plans for the future?
To continue to put more good products out there for people to try them. You know, I'd love to do different product lines like crackers, chips, all cricket-based, you know, lots of different ways for people to start incorporating into their diets more.
Sydney, thank you very much for joining us on Earth Matters to tell us a little bit more about the world of crickets and cricket powder. and we wish you continued success in your company. In 2014, Megan Miller, co-founder of Biddy Foods, addressed a TEDx conference in Manhattan to talk about her newest venture, a company that used cricket flour to bake cupcakes, cakes, and other goodies. Megan gives us a good overview of the reasons why to use insects as ingredients, and she explains why she got involved. To round out our interview with Sydney Kobe, we thought Megan's presentation might help convince you to try crickets in your next meal.
When you hear crickets chirping, what do you think of? Warm summer nights, grassy fields, the awkward silence that happens when a joke falls flat? When I think of crickets, I think of the future of food. Because I eat crickets almost every day in the form of baked goods like this, which I made from cricket flour. It might be difficult for a lot of people to consider eating whole insects, but they become a lot more manageable when they're in this format. This is cricket flour, which I make from whole insects that are dried and milled into a fine nutty powder, and it's packed with nutrients. It has healthy fats, vitamins and minerals, and around 70 grams of protein per serving. And I'm in pretty good company when it comes to eating insects. This dish that you see right here is served at Noma in Copenhagen, which has been named the number one restaurant in the world for the past several years. We could even say that crickets are on the cusp of becoming trendy. In my previous life, before I started Biddy Foods, I was a trend forecaster and consumer researcher in the media and technology industries. And looking through the lens of a trend forecaster, I see a powerful shift happening in the way that people think about food. People are more interested in sustainability than ever before and understanding where their food comes from, which is why we're all here today. And thanks to the internet, we're constantly being exposed to new trends and ideas, and even new cuisines, like this 3B salad from Chef David George Gordon. You may already know some of the reasons why eating insects is a good idea. By the year 2050, there will be an additional 2 billion people on the planet. And economists say that we are unlikely to have the food resources to feed everyone. We are facing a global food crisis. And our current agricultural production will not scale to feed 9+ billion people. Economists say that by the year 2050, meat will become a luxury product. In their direst estimates, beef will be priced like caviar. It will be a rare luxury for many of us, and for many, many more of us, it will be completely unattainable. Insects, on the other hand, are a highly sustainable form of protein. They can be grown with very little land and very little water, and they have a feed-to-meat conversion ratio 10 times more efficient than beef. Insects are, in fact, the most efficient form of protein on planet Earth. Last May, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization published a 200-page report that made world headlines for its conclusion that edible insects could be the key to global food sustainability. Among their findings, if everyone in the world started eating insects and they became a part of our mainstream food supply, we could reclaim some of the 30% of the Earth's land surface, which is currently being used by the livestock industry to grow animals and the grains that the animals eat. That's a third of the Earth. We could reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by 18%, and we could lower the cost of food all around the world by about 33%. I can't think of another food source that could have this kind of impact on both the environment and the global economy, and that, in a nutshell, is why I eat bugs. But eating bugs doesn't normally look like this. This is me in my kitchen baking cricket flour muffins. Normally, when we think about eating insects, we think of people in times of strife, desperate people who are in a famine situation or Fear Factor contestants. But I'm looking to change that perception by turning insects into an aspirational food, a highly nutritious food that is sought out by thought leaders like you. And I think we can do that in the next couple of years. And I also think that within the next decade, insects will move from being a crazy, edgy food to being a completely mainstream food for most people. To help foster that cultural change, I'm starting with the cricket. There are 2,000 different species of insects that can be eaten and are eaten by humans around the world, but I think crickets have a very nice cultural association for Westerners, like we talked about before, with the nice chirping and the summer nights. And they don't carry any diseases that are transmissible to humans. And not to be confused with locusts, they don't destroy crops either. Although crickets are delicious, boiled, sautéed, fried, and in many other preparations, I think that reducing their friction and making them more easy to think about by turning them into a flower is the way that we're going to be able to introduce them to the Western world. And so I turn them into a nutty-tasting, earthy flower, and I bake them into cookies and muffins and other baked goods through my company, Biddy Foods. And if you are convinced, as I am, that insects are worth trying, I invite you to join me in tasting some cricket cookies when we break for lunch. Thank you.
Lawson Hunter here, host and producer of Earth Matters. I wanted to thank all the listeners of Earth Matters for your continuing support. As always, please feel free to send us your comments, suggestions, and thoughts on topics and people we should look at for future programs. Email us at earthmatters@newsandcomment.com. News, A-N-D, comment.com.